You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Shall I tell it again? How we started as friends. We're running to one another now.
Folks, it's October, and one of my rules on Thanksgiving weekend is we got to have a lot of James Taylor, especially from this CD, October Road. Up next, we're going to do our Drugal guest right now. He's the author of Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith Reporting on Religion in America and Found Unexpected Peace. We've had a lot of good conversations over the last couple of years. I like this guy a lot, and I don't know how he feels about me. Bill Abdel joins us on the phone right now. And every time I get you on the phone, Bill, I'm terrified you're back at the nudist beach.
That's a hard image to get out of your mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thanks for that choice of words. Listen, what are you doing these days? Are you still selling your I Got Rid of Jesus book?
Yeah, I'm still selling that. I'm doing a lot of journalism for a bunch of different publications and still don't believe in God.
Still don't believe in God. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, here we go. We're going to have this conversation. Dude, I told you to go to the website and look at Drugal, and I'm assuming you've done that. And when you heard what I said to you about the fact that I kind of came out a little bit and said I'm not convinced there's a God, and I told Ravi Zacharias, and ever since then I've been on this sort of pseudo-agnostic journey. What were your thoughts? What were your impressions?
You know, I really wasn't surprised. I think you're a searcher and you're an open-minded guy and you're very, very honest. And, you know, I think that, there are a lot of people who really deep down don't believe, don't believe in their faith, because if they did, we would just have a transformed world. And so I think a lot of people, are able to cover it up and to, just sort of ignore their doubts. And doubts aren't very popular in the church world. So, and it's, you know, kudos to your radio station to lead you on to have you, you know, battle this out in public.
Yeah, actually, I agree with you quite a lot on that one. Very, very thrilled with this station for saying, look, what you're going through is not abnormal, so we shouldn't treat it as abnormal. However, should I come to the conclusion that there is no God or that I'm no longer a follower of Christ, then, yeah, they're going to say, well, I think we'll both agree it would be a little ridiculous to have a show on a Christian radio station. But anyway, aside from that, I've been asking all of our Drugal guests, do you believe there's a God or in God? And you have come to through this journey as a follower to no longer a follower. So your answer is no. Are you agnostic or atheist, Bill?
I'm either a deist or an atheist. I don't think there's a personal God who intervenes in our lives, and I think, once I came to that conclusion, it doesn't really matter if there was a, you know, the big guy to kick it all off, or if it's, you know, some sort of natural phenomenon, because God is not going to help me one way or another.
Right. Okay. How has life changed since you kind of came out yourself and said publicly, you know what, I'm not a Christian anymore?
You know, for me, my life, I mean, just from personally, my life makes a lot more sense to me. I really struggled with issues of faith, just basic ones, you know, the Trinity or why do bad things happen to good people, and I can put those, now these things make sense. When something bad happens, it's, you know, it's you know, natural catastrophe, or it's, you know, some aberration of you know, medicine or Mother Nature, or some abnormality. It's not a it doesn't happen while a loving, caring God, you know, sat on his hands to let it happen. And one of the hardest things I always had is I used the tsunami in
Indonesia?
Indonesia, yeah, thanks. I'm going to say Asia. Indonesia, and I just remember, you know, some people were saved and they were like, oh my God, you know, God is so great, you know, let's praise God. And, you know, I went to some churches, they said that too, there's this miracle baby in a tree or whatever. I was like, well, what about the, you know, 250,000 people that got wiped out? You know, where was God there? So anyway, it's a long answer, but, you know, my life, it just seems to make more sense without a personal God that's going to intervene or not in my life.
Now, the Christians are going to hear that, and they're going to say, wow, your life makes more sense now that you're not really believing in a personal God. That doesn't make sense to me. I couldn't imagine that this world came from nothing, and all of a sudden all this organized matter became us.
Yeah, and that's where I leave the deist part in there. But I think, you know, if you believe that the God, I mean, there's all kinds of questions, you know, like why, who created God, or does God stand outside of time? And I think these, you know, for my little brain, it's too much. It's you know, I don't know how this universe got created. I don't think it makes sense that, you know, something comes from nothing. But at the same time, I don't think it makes sense that a God came from nothing. He just was here outside of time, or, you know, just magically appeared. And so these are big questions that, you know, we at least I've been dealing with since, you know, I'm smoking pot in college. But now without the pot, but you know, these things are still. I just can't get my mind around it, and you know, I think it's easy to. I just wish the Christians, if Christians were more honest of where they are in their faith and in their doubts, they would just be much more appealing people. Mother Teresa, who you know many of your listeners will know, she didn't experience God and Jesus in her life for the last 50 years of her life. She was ashamed of it. She wouldn't tell anybody but her spiritual mentor. And she, you know, struggled mightily with her, what she believed was her lack of faith. I don't know. I think she would have been even more appealing if she said, look, I'm struggling. I'm in the dark night of the soul, and I'm really having trouble connecting with God.
Yeah, you see, the bigger you get within whatever institution, the less likely the bosses of that institution want you coming out with dark night of the soul stuff, which is why I'm so thankful I've been able to fly below the radar in this little schmucky show up here in Canada.
Yeah, once you get those CDs with no scratches in it, you're going to be ready for the big time.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing that one up.
You went up my book that you like James Taylor.
Did you say, hold on a second. Did you just say I went out in your book?
No, up in my
book. Oh, up in my book. Okay, all right. Yeah, all right, book, yeah. Don't be dissing JT, man.
I know. Actually, I named my firstborn son Taylor, yeah, after James Taylor.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Dude, we're on the same page in more ways than one. Okay, so let me ask you then, Bill, and by the way, we're on the phone with William Lubdell, who is affectionately known as Bill, former religion reporter for the LA Times, found out about his story with this book, Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith, Reporting on Religion in America. People are going to say to you, well, Bill, I mean, you weren't really a Christian in the first place if you walked away from it. No one who really tastes of what God is really like will ever walk away from it. So you weren't probably a Christian in the first place.
Yeah, well, I think in some ways, because I don't think Christianity is really real, I probably was not. So I would concede that point in some sense. But, you know, I would defy anybody to really look at my spiritual walk and find it very... I was in small groups. I was in Bible studies. I went to retreats. I read the Bible morning and night. I prayed all the time. And I was... You know, I was in it, you know, jumping in head first. And it wasn't for, you know, a couple of years. It was for, you know, more than a decade. And I very, very reluctantly conceded that I had lost my faith. It took me a good 5-6 years to really come to grips with, you know, I just thought I was in that spiritual desert, and I was this, not that. And the other thing that I did not understand when I was a Christian, or I call myself a Christian, and now, is that sometimes when you lose your faith, it's not, I mean, I think probably a lot of times, it's not a conscious decision. You know, I don't think Mother Teresa decided, you know, I can't feel God anymore. It just happens. And so for me, it was kind of like someone turned off a light switch, and I could not turn it back on no matter what. And so I could fake it. I could, you know, still go to church and still sing the songs and everything else. But, you know, deep down, it was gone.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to explain that to people, and the answers I typically get are, well, grow up. God doesn't roll that way. You're not going to get what you want. Even if you got what you wanted, you'd screw it up anyway. Just read your Bible more and just believe. Just have faith.
Yeah, I think that's a real weakness with the body of Christ, because I didn't find I could talk openly about my doubts without getting those sort of those platitudes that I used as well. And I don't think those are real answers as someone who has severe doubts. I even I went to a bunch of pastors and they really didn't want to deal with it. And I think partly because it's very dangerous. It's oh my God, what if what if somehow this disease gets, transferred to me. And so it's not something that's encouraged. I am, my book has become a required reading at some seminaries. And, I think that's really good, because I think to really, if you're going to be really strong in your faith, you've got to deal with doubt and not be afraid of it and meet it head on instead of sort of burying it in the closet.
Mm. Okay, so what would you say to me then? I mean, here you are, you did the Jesus journey for a good chunk of time. You even hung out with Rick Warren, so you must have been a real Christian then, let alone being from Orange County. I mean, everyone in Orange County loves Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a requirement for residency.
Yeah, that's right. You gave it all away. You walked away from it. And then now here I am wondering about the same thing. And I'm sitting here going, man, I just want to, I don't know if you read my soldier story, but soldier overseas, 30 years, no response from dad, no connection. Mm-hmm. I just want God. I just want to feel him. And I don't want to become a raving Pentecostal who has to have that experience every weekend. I just want one. So what do you say to me?
Well, I think a simple answer is just keep searching for the truth, not necessarily for God, but for the truth. I think that for me, God, it's an incredibly wonderful notion that you have this loving Father that's going to look after you, that is, had your back at all times, that you can rely on, and that, when you die, you're going to live, in heaven forever. I mean, that's a great religion to join, or a great organization to join. It took me a long time. Death was a huge problem for me. I would like to be in heaven. I don't want to, I don't want my life to be over, the minute I die. These are all very tough things, but I think for me, and this is just for me, not for, anybody else, but for me, it was part of a growing up process that, I really don't believe this, and, deep down, and I've got to face, what the facts are, the facts on the ground. Here's the facts on the ground, and I got to deal with them. And kind of once I did that, and again, it took me years and years and years of struggle, I did feel like a relief off my shoulders.
You see, I'm kind of betwixt and between here. I don't want to be a quitter. I really don't want to jump off the ship. I don't. I want to believe that there is a creator that is interactive, that there is a father, a supernatural father figure out there, because I think the Jesus stuff really makes sense. It really does. But man, I'm telling you, the gaps. I mean, it's like playing hide and go seek for 30 years. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a story one time about how, I would not, an article, I would not treat my sons like God treats me, if there was a God. I let them know, here are the rules, I love you, I don't let the, I'm not play this hide and seek game. It's much more laid out because, I love them, I want them to understand, how to live and where they go wrong and just that, I'm here all the time. It's a tough thing. I mean, it's like probably the biggest question in life, right?
Yeah, is there God? Yeah.
Yeah, and but I also think there's no, I think there's, I look at Mother Teresa and I think, she spent 50 years being this, closeted, tortured woman of faith, and I think she made the wrong decision. I think at some point you say, the reason why I don't feel God is because there is no God. But she will go down as one of her saintly qualities will be the fact that she kept her faith despite not having, any
Right.
Feeling.
Right. And people have said that to me. I mean, maybe this is what this is all about, Drew. Maybe you are to be one of the very few voices who has a microphone out there, because all the other God people who have microphones or television shows have had incredible personal encounter stories. I seem like it's like I'm the only schmuck on radio and God radio who's got nothing, right? So people are saying, well, maybe this is your deal, you know, and you're just going to suffer through and just hang in there. And I'm like, okay, I get that. I really do. But I don't want to. It's just like hanging on to Pascal's wager by the my fingernails. I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired.
Yeah, and I think that's a really bad wager in that, you know, if you really don't believe, you know, people say that to me all the time, you know, believe, and if, you know, the worst that can happen is you'll just die, but, you know, hopefully if you believe, you're going to go to heaven. But if you really don't believe, and really God will only take you if you believe, which I think is nonsense, but, yeah, he's going to know you're faking it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really believe. You know, I think, and I like the inventiveness of all the explanations about what's, you know, going on with you or when, you know, with me. When I came out in the newspaper and told everybody, I had literally a desk filled like a mountain of with videos and cassettes and books and
yeah.
hymns and CDs and but everybody has sort of a explanation. But, you know, sometimes you know, I use the Occam's razor is, you know, sometimes, most of the time, the simplest explanation is the right one. And so, you know, sometimes you don't have to jump through all these hoops. You could just say, well, you know, maybe there isn't a God or a personal God.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's a tough struggle, you know.
Okay. All right. So your final word of advice to me?
Seek and you shall find.
You're so cheeky. You are so cheeky.
Whatever the truth is. And you know what? The last thing I'd say is, you know, I spent my Christian life reading all the Christian apologetics, and as I started to doubt, I started to read the smart attacks or, you know, criticisms of the Bible and Scripture and everything else, and that really opened my eyes as well.
Okay, so what you're saying is read the bad stuff.
Read the bad stuff. Don't be afraid of it. Read it. You know, if you find it's nonsense, that's fine.
But, all right.
Get the whole 360. You.
Bill, I've always appreciated you, man. I really have.
All right, Drew.
Thanks.
Take care. Okay.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. William Lobdell on The Drew Marshall Show, author of Losing My Religion, How I Lost My Faith, reporting on religion in America, former LA Times religion reporter, and the guy investigated a lot of nasty stuff, but his journey has been one that's intrigued me right from the start. All right, we had to switch guests around. But now we're back on track because he's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Tony Campolo has been licking his chops for a week, waiting to get in here and smack me around mano a mano. We'll be right back with the man himself. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca. Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.